If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
NWHB.
Welcome into hour number two of Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're broadcasting live from Chiefs Training Camp in St. Joe, Missouri. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. Our coverage from training camp brought to you by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, and GM. It is absolutely jam-packed once again in St. Joe. On Saturday, the first open practice, there were well over 8,000 people up here on the campus of Missouri Western. Today is going to be at least that big, if not bigger. It is just absolutely packed. Chiefs going through special teams drills right now. They just wrapped up 7-on-7 exercises. Joining us now, our good friend Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, and co-host of the podcast, 4th and 1, along with Todd Palmer. And you guys bring in Lizak and Mick Schaefer, and everybody else just jumps in. On occasion,
we have a lot of people that are on a whole crew that likes to talk football.
A whole crew. I'm going to turn your mic up just a little bit here. So we were watching 7-on-7s here, and I know you were up top. You had a bird's eye view, which is a little better than me. I'm watching Patrick Mahomes, and especially he had the play with Travis Kelce where
– the corner route,
the corner route where the linebacker and the defensive back completely were fooled on the play. Patrick Mahomes is in a different – I'm not going to say he's – better than last year, because it would be hard to be better than last year, but man, he's been accurate these past 2 days.
Yeah, he did have one high pass that Sammy Watkins had to climb the ladder, and it was the only spot he could throw it based on that coverage.
Yeah,
but I mean, overall, yeah, Mahomes, he's just picking up where he left off, so I'm very curious to see what he does when he's actually tuned up and in full form at this point.
He did attempt a no-look pass, and I think Sammy Watkins didn't see it coming. I don't know who was out. I think it was Watkins.
It probably was on that one.
Watkins wasn't ready for it.
I don't think anybody's ever really ready for it.
No. And we were talking about earlier, Chris and I were talking about all the videos that were posted yesterday of the workouts, and, of course, the one where Mahomes throws it behind his back was that got a lot of attention. And then in the passing net where they have the three tiers of baskets where they try to throw in him, he's doing it all left-handed. I mean, come on, this is ridiculous.
Hey, he's having fun out there, and he's capable of doing that. I can't even eat left-handed, let alone throw an object with it.
I tried to brush my teeth left-handed once. Uh-huh. That was a disaster.
Well, as long as nobody saw it.
I think I shoved my toothbrush up my nose trying to do it. My right hand was injured. Since I'm right-handed, my right hand was injured. So our guest is Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. We're talking about training camp. You mentioned the excitement level here. About Patrick Mahomes, and Chris and I were talking earlier about looking around the division. If you look at Denver and Joe Flacco, his comments aren't exactly friendly to his teammates. Drew Lock, in particular, from Kansas City and Mizzou. You look at Oakland, Derek Carr, and the fact that the Raiders are on their way out of town, they've got 1 foot in Las Vegas. I really don't think they care.
And apparently a lot of grasshoppers in Vegas.
Yeah,
what
did
I saw
you
this
see that?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that parking lot at one of the casinos was overwhelmed by grasshoppers.
I thought it was locusts for a while there.
Well,
I was concerned.
And now we're going to dive off course here. I didn't know what that was about, but somebody who's actually an expert on it said it's the migration season, and that's why all the grasshoppers were there. It wasn't something that was just out of the blue.
I just took it as a sign that the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Yes, yes.
That's how I'm going to take that one.
Well, and then you look at the Chargers. They're like maybe, the number five franchise in Los Angeles in terms of interest?
Probably so, when you think about it.
If you're talking about enthusiasm, first of all, the Chiefs are the Chiefs. You got the MVP quarterback, and you got a team that went out and made moves on defense for players and the coaches.
Sounds like we have some more technical difficulties going down with whatever is going on at training camp. They're still in the 7-on-7 action. But as Brad was alluding to when we were talking earlier about what the rest of the division entails for the Chiefs and the AFC West, and really it's really Chiefs Chargers at this point. I mean, we've talked about it for the past 2 or 3 years that the Broncos, since losing, since winning the Super Bowl and the deterioration of Peyton Manning, they have just not been able to get it together at quarterback, and drafting Paxton Lynch and not knowing And then, you know, going with that, and then Trevor Siemian, which was another bad experiment, and Brock Osweiler at that. So it's been rough a go of it, but for Chiefs fans, that is no problem, as it's no one minds to see the Broncos struggle after they, for at least the, you know, mid or all the 90s and then early 2000s, even when they had, you know, Jay Plummer and Clinton Portis and Champ Bailey and some studs out there. No one bats an eye about the Broncos struggling right now. Chargers is going to be interesting, as we've talked about. What is Philip Rivers going to be this year? It's another year. He doesn't have much mobility, but he seems to always overperform what people are expecting out of him. Will Keenan Allen stay healthy? He has had a lot of choice words for the Chiefs secondary over the offseason. Also, with the Melvin Gordon holdout, how much does that affect the offense of the Los Angeles Chargers? When Melvin Gordon was out last year, Austin Eckler stepped in and played pretty well. He was serviceable enough, kind of like when the Chiefs lost Kareem Hunt. It was everyone thought, how much is this going to affect the offense? I will say it did affect the offense to a certain extent. There was that not that added emphasis by defense in the scouting and how many people they were going to put in the box. Damian Williams did a great job, especially out of the backfield catching balls, but the presence between the tackles wasn't the same. Kareem Hunt was a punishing runner, as well as someone who could catch balls out of the backfield. But
games whenever it was.
So, hey, Chris, sorry, we dropped out. We dropped out for a second.
No,
sorry about that.
Yeah,
let me re-ask the question I just asked Nick, since he breaks out a lot of tape. With Patrick Mahomes having the great season he had last year, there's not a lot to criticize, especially when you win the MVP. But watching the film, as you have, are there a couple of areas where you'd like to see Patrick Mahomes tweak it a little bit?
Yeah, the first big part that I'm looking at is whenever he's in some of those big games like he was with the Ravens, the Broncos, the divisional round, the AFC championship game. Patrick's nerves, you could tell, get to him a little bit early on, and he may miss a touchdown here or miss a throw there. And it seems like he settles in by about late second quarter, especially third quarter, and then he just turns it on. So if he, from being in those big games last year and being in one of the biggest games of his career, the AFC championship game, I'm curious to see how he took that experience and how that helps him when he's on those primetime games or when he's in those big moments in those big games, to where if he can get that start early on, I think they can put some more of those games out of reach. So I think from him, I think that's just kind of the challenge of having to go through last year. So I'm curious to see in that regard. And then there's some times where he's going to need to take the crossing route instead of going for the deep ball, or take it just to keep them on the field, keep things going so that they can drive down the field on an 80 or drive 10 plays to give the defense the rest sometimes. So I think those are kind of the things, if I had to nitpick. But again, that's just taking two little tiny things.
You gotta find something, right?
Yeah, those are just the two little tiny things that I think are his biggest things that if he works on, I think this team can be even better than what they were offensively and collectively overall.
All right, you're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the operation back in the studio. Our guest is Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. All right, we got the news a couple of weeks ago that the National Football League was not going to issue any kind of suspension for Tyreek Hill. The Chiefs have brought him back into the fold. The owner and CEO, Clark Hunt, talked about it yesterday, and whether or not they considered their own suspension. And he said no. They were, after listening to the full tape and hearing the context and speaking with the National Football League and all the interviews that have gone on with Tyreek, they were okay bringing him back in. And obviously that's a benefit for Tyreek Hill and the rest of the offense, but that's got to be a relief for the organization to have that decided before training camp started and they can move on.
Correct, yeah, because you don't want something in question like that to be in limbo this entire season. You want the offense, you want Tyreek being your star receiver out there, you want Watkins out there, you want Mecole Hardman out there, you want Kelce out there, you want them all running the routes together and experiencing what they're going to have to adjust in coverage in those moments, and you want them out there doing it together so that they're already on point by the time they face Jacksonville. So having that out of the way is, I'm sure, a huge relief to the organization, but above all else, Tyreek for not being able to be in the OTAs and minicamp, for him to look how he has out here,
yes.
to have this, to look even faster than he did last year already, and to be able to have the cuts and the breaks that he has and the concentration he has catching the passes. I mean, that's a credit to the training he was doing while he was away from the team, because that's not easy. Some players, from a conditioning perspective, there's a difference between being in football shape and
right.
being in condition.
Right.
And when the pads come on, I'm curious to see for a lot of these guys how that cranks up the next level.
And for Tyreek Hill, who, by the way, is modeling some shorts this year that I would call high and tight,
yeah.
kind of like a haircut.
Yeah. It makes him faster.
He's
like a Lieutenant Dangle in Reno 911.
Yes, yes. They're kind of like 80s NBA basketball yeah. shorts, but like they've been suctioned to his legs. Maybe he wants to show off a little bit. But there's also, in terms of now that that's been decided by the National Football League, I think fans in Kansas City have a different view than fans nationally or
yes.
even media nationally.
Yes.
Because
yes.
when you saw Tyreek Hill run out on the field yesterday and, mm-hmm. and today, and when he was making catches, huge ovations from the crowd.
As Brad was saying, huge ovations from the crowd as Tyreek Hill was back on the field. We heard it back here, even from...
I think Kansas City fans, for the most part, have moved on, and that
right.
has to do with winning football games. So there's, like I said, a different perspective nationally versus local. And I've said this from day one, whatever your opinion is, your opinion is. Whatever you think is what you think. I can't tell you how to think about it.
Right.
I'm just telling you that from the crowd we see in St. Joe, people have moved on.
Yeah, and I think part of that is just because the fan base has kept on top of the story and all the parts that have come out from that and been able to, because this fan base is they're in touch with everything, and they read a lot of stuff and they read a lot of content, and they keep on top of what's going on. I think from a national perspective, there's parts of the stories that have come out that really they haven't really tried to dive into. They've just seen the headlines from a national aspect of it, and they've just based their opinions on that.
We're speaking with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, as we broadcast live from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe. The other storyline, at least before camp started, was whether or not Chris Jones would show up.
Mm-hmm.
There was a thought that he may hold out. He's in the last year of his rookie contract. He wants, obviously, a nice raise. He saw the Frank Clark deal get, you know, a huge money coming in. And Chris Jones really didn't have any bargaining chips because August 6th was coming sooner or later, and that was the deadline for whether or not you get an accrued season,
mm-hmm.
and that's important in the National Football
right.
League. So it didn't have a lot of leverage, but just from this, I'm just telling you from what I hear, this is what I digest. To me, it sounds like the team and Chris Jones and his agents are in, I guess his agents, the Katz brothers,
right.
they're comfortable going into camp with the idea of they're going to keep talking.
Right.
But also knowing the Chiefs don't really have to do anything. So I don't know if I expect anything to happen soon.
Well, I would say for Chris, the first step that he needed to do was show up here to camp.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the first thing he needed to do to be able to get some of the, in terms of the, some of the bargaining chips on the
right.
table, to get some good faith in the organization, start learning from Brennan Daly and Steve Spagnuolo's system, how to align, where he needs to line up, where he's going to do this twist or this stunt. And I think for him being out here being able to execute that stuff, that's going to go a long way for him to be able to get the money that he wants down the road here. And I think if he proves that and executes it, I think they'll find a number that they're all comfortable with together and get as close to where their goal is financially. I could see that happening, but he had to be at the practices and show up for that to be able to get to that level.
And by the way, the Chiefs look like they're getting ready to wrap up this morning's workout when they all go to the center of the field for a final stretch. They may be nearing the end. So, Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, if you have to run to go cover the press conferences,
you're
let
good.
Me know. You're good? Okay. You mentioned Brandon Daly, the defensive line coach.
Yes.
Okay, I'll ask you about Steve Spagnuolo in a minute. But Daly has been getting rave reviews from the first few days of camp, especially Stephen St. John, because the defensive lineman workout right in front of our broadcast location.
Right.
And he's a pretty intense dude, but also a very instructive kind of coach.
Yeah, from what I saw during his New England days, he's a really good teacher, like you said. And above all else, he he wants each player to get better. It's not just I'm going to help this star player or this guy. He genuinely cares about each one of those players and helping them become the best player that they can so that they can help contribute to this team. And given the time that he spent in New England and obviously in Steve Spagnuolo's system before and then now back with Steve, I think you have an individual from a D-line coach perspective that I think is going to be a future defensive coordinator, and if that works out well, then maybe head coach down the road here. And I think above all else, the thing that I think a lot of people should be excited about is they have a defensive coaching staff, from, in my opinion, for the first time since probably early Marty era, that all those guys can become coordinators and potentially head coaches down the road. And to be able to have all that in this type of season with this type of quarterback, you're hoping all the stars align and that Dave Merritt and Matt House and Brendan Daly, that those three guys can help each one of those positional groups reach the level they need to so that the offense maybe can have a down game or have a down series and it's not an offsides away from the Super Bowl being the issue. Because it isn't just on Dee Ford from that AFC Championship game. It's not all on him. There was a special teams tackle that was missed a couple plays before. Mahomes missed a touchdown early on in the first quarter, and all those little things always add up. So if you can have the coaching staff that can fix it out here this year, when you get to that moment, you don't have to worry and nitpick those things like Chiefs fans have had to do for a long time during a lot of those playoff heartbreaks.
That's a good comparison to the Marty Schottenheimer staff, and obviously the biggest name off that staff is Bill Cowher.
Yes.
Went on to win a Super Bowl.
And Dungy.
And Tony Dungy, and Herm Edwards was an intern in the NFL intern program with that staff, and that worked out pretty well
It worked out for all of them.
There's a few million in the bank for those guys on that staff. We're speaking with Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. As we broadcast live from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, we're going all the way up until noon. So let's get into Spagnuolo.
Mm-hmm.
Going from the 3-4 to the 4-3. Obviously, it'll be an adjustment for personnel.
Right.
Find out if your guys fit or if you need to make adjustments to bring in guys who fit. So just some early observations and how guys are adjusting to their new spots. I think the linebackers maybe have the most, the biggest challenge in kind of figuring it out. But maybe I'm wrong. What has been your observation?
The thing that jumped out to me from watching today is from a secondary perspective, how well those guys are reading and attacking compared to last year already. And for me, that was kind of the thing I was curious to see. Like Juan Thornhill jumped a pass today that I thought he had the interception on because I saw the loft on the ball and the route on that corner aspect over there. And the way he read it and how he was driving on that football, I was like, oh, he's going to get this one. He's going to time it perfectly.
He picked off a lot in college.
Yes, and he was right there, and my view got obstructed to see if he just dropped it or he got hit or whatever happened for the ball to pop out of his hands. But, oh, man, whenever I saw that, I was like, that's going to be a pick right there, and it almost was. So I could see that.
And I think Nick was just talking about, you know, Juan Thornhill and what he might bring to the table this season. I think it's, as they were talking about the defensive side of the ball, I think it'll be interesting to see I think that's they preluded talking about stunning and how they're going to line people up on the defensive line, what kind of twists and everything they'll use, and maybe some more creative blitzes, maybe some more corner blitzes, and while dropping guys into zone coverage, and other things like that. I'm interested to see how, with added pressure and bringing more creative blitzes, how that will help the cornerbacks in the back half. Maybe not have as many problems, at least getting burnt deep. And also the communication. I think that a big thing that people have been talking about with Steve Spagnuolo since he's gotten here is that the teaching aspect of what he brings to the table, especially his familiarity with defensive backs and coaching them up, that is going to be interesting to make things more simple, make it more simplistic for the guys, at least communicating, especially with pick routes and crossing routes and whatnot. Because you saw in that AFC Championship game, it was not that the New England Patriots weren't doing anything that astronomically crazy. It was literally just pick plays. They were sending a guy on a slant, and then they would send Edelman out on a little flat route and or a little 5 yard out, and the communication.
They were scoring too quickly in Philly. So,
hey, sorry, Chris, we dropped off again there for a second.
No worries.
We were talking about secondary and some of the new faces that that could help out, and a guy who's not a new face, but is back after being let go. Or rather was on the practice squad last year, is Keith Reeser.
Yeah,
and he got the opportunity with the AAF before they collapsed. He got to play a handful of games, and he could have been the defensive MVP in the AAF. So even though he was on the practice squad last year, going to the AAF for those limited number of games got him the reps and game competition. Not NFL first team competition, but getting to play against competition. And he's a guy I think it could fit in nicely.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be curious to see once these guys have integrated over the past month who really starts to shine during some of the preseason games. I'm trying to reserve judgment and a little regard to some of the guys right now just because I know they're still learning the system and some of the coverages, and you aren't sure 100% on what day that it's the defense's period to work on what they need to versus what the offense is. That's something that we don't personally know. The coaching staff knows at that point, but we're just basing on what we view. So I am preseason is like the best barometer to be able to tell how far each one of those guys has come.
What about Tremont Smith? I think I was just going to say, I think all of us were excited. I fall into the trap of speaking for everybody. I was excited to see if he could help out last year. I don't think he helped out as much as I thought he could or thought he would. But, you know, he's got a year of work under his belt. Could be a nickel a dime kind of guy. And he's got to be a guy who makes the roster and does something of import this season.
Yeah, for one aspect of it, he's like you said, he's going to need to be able to figure out a way to showcase himself in the sub packages and be able to get on the field in that regard. Because I think he's already, from last year, you would assume he's kind of solidified a lot of the special team ability working in that regard. So if he can figure out a way to make himself valuable in that secondary now, I think that's going to be the difference between making the roster or not making it.
By the way, you're hearing cheering now from the crowd as the practice is breaking up and players are coming over to sign autographs. It looks like the linebacker group, maybe offensive linemen, and a couple of defensive linemen are coming over. Defensive linemen sign autographs, I think, every day.
Hey,
they got their own little cheering section over here in front of the blocking sled. I think I've seen, going back to last year, I think Chris Jones has signed almost every single day.
Oh, no, I believe it. Yeah, he's a man of the people.
So one of, Frank Clark is making his way over, I think. So a bunch of people, they're crowding around our broadcast location. We had Mitch Holtis on last Wednesday, and we were talking about the most important position battles in camp. And as you and I were just talking about corners, you got to find some corners. Mitch Holtis is of the opinion tight end two is as big as anything, because for as much as Demetrius Harris gets laughed at for the drops, that he did. He also caught a couple of big passes in his career, but was not going to be a fit with this offense anymore. Andy Reid runs two tight ends, three tight ends, or multiple sets, and so that tight end two is bigger than maybe we think.
Yeah, especially for what the Chiefs can do and how many times they can get the team. If you have two athletic tight ends like the Chiefs have had in the past, what you can do and how you can manipulate the defense and what personnel packages they put out there, that's half the battle. So whenever the Chiefs had those two athletic abilities, you're likely having to either have the safeties or linebackers match up on that second guy, depending on how that defensive coverage is with their package. So whenever you're able to have the two tight end set, that's so huge for them. And I'm curious, they're cheering for Patrick, cheering for you, of course.
No, Patrick Mahomes is running over to sign autographs, and everybody is screaming for Mahomes. And he signed autographs yesterday, too. So this is normally the Chiefs rotate position groups day to day as to who gets to sign autographs or who has to. And Mahomes signed autographs all the way up the line yesterday going back to the dorms. And now he's signing over here on the side of the field, and it's an absolute mob scene over there.
Well, and again, like we talk about, he's one of those guys that connects and identifies with this community.
Right.
He doesn't have to sign every day, but he's going to come over here and he's going to do that for the fan base. And that's why this fan base is going to love him and embrace him for a long, long time.
All right, broad strokes question for you here. We talked about the defense in Spagnuolo. Andy Reid has had plenty of success here in Kansas City. Won a ton of games, got to an AFC championship game. As you looked at film from last year, anything you'd like to see Andy Reid tweak a little bit? Did he fall into any traps? Did he fall into repetitive patterns?
In all honesty, the only thing that I wanted to see him tweak, he did. He brought in a new defensive coaching staff.
Yes, okay.
So I have no complaints.
Hey, Chris, I think you were trying to talk to me. What were you saying, Chris? Okay. I I still didn't hear you, Chris. Sorry. It's okay. Eric Bieniemy is coming to the podium. Chris, just tell me when, as soon as he's there. Okay, we're going to go to the podium and hear from Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy.
Injuries, but I will say this: I thought the guys moved around great today. We had a lot of fun. You know what? It was good. It was good having him back out there. Obviously, he's a very intelligent kid. He's picked up right where he left off from. He's doing a heck of a job. Obviously, he brings tons of energy and obviously tons of speed as well.
What's your vision for how the running back mix will work? Is it a one guy, and when he's tired, then you go to the next, or do you envision more kind of like a Swiss Army knife, different guy for different jobs?
Well, one thing with all our backs, we're coaching all of them to be the starter. We're coaching all of them to take somebody's job. At the end of the day, we want to put the best players in the best situations to give us the best opportunity to win. So right now, we want to watch all these guys compete. That's the name of the game. We're in training camp. We want to compete for a job. Who wants it? Who can improve on the little things that we've worked on and talked about throughout the offseason? But when it's all said and done with, let's come out and maximize the opportunity that's being presented.
It's early, Eric, but you guys have mentioned so many times before about Patrick Mahomes and his footwork and the idea of if his footwork is crisper, that's going to lead to more accuracy in terms of intermediate throws. Have you, I mean, it's two practices, but have you seen that look like he was in a good group today?
Yes, and that's been a huge focus. Obviously, just making sure he maintains some type of consistency in the pocket with his feet. And the thing that I've seen, not just over the past 2 days, but also, too, with him participating in the rookie training camp, obviously, he was a little rusty at the start, but he's cleaning it up. You're seeing him detailing the details, but also, too, it's not as extended. He's sitting confident in the pocket.
Coach, with the practices and the energy picking up throughout OTAs, you guys have talked about it here. How do you expect that to change going into tomorrow when the pads come on?
I expect it to rise up a few notches. So, obviously, with tomorrow being the first day of pads, obviously, everyone is excited. The energy will be up there. But when it's all said and done, what I always tell the guys, just remember, remain poised under pressure. We just want to do the little things right and go out and execute, but also, too, play physical and also have a purpose of why we're doing things.
What do you see if Sammy took a step forward? Have you seen, based on what you've seen so far, would you say agree with that, sir?
Sammy looks good. Just like all the receivers, I say that Sammy looked like he's doing a very good job of transitioning in and out of breaks. I mean, he has a big body, and sometimes that big body has a hard time stopping. And one thing I've noticed, and he seemed that he's worked on it a bunch this entire offseason, is just his ability to transition in and out of breaks faster, which is huge. So you figure a man of that size, after the catch, can be dangerous. Well, I'll say this. First and foremost, let's give credit where credit is due. Veach and his staff has done a hell of a job of supplying us with a number of guys who can do some things. But at the end of the day, it's our job to coach them up and get what we want out of them. But those guys understand the importance of detailing and going out and executing. So when they're out there, they're playing for one another. They understand the concept and where they fit. And at times, hey, everybody's not going to get the ball. But we do understand the big goal in mind, the big purpose in mind, is to do it the right way so we can have an opportunity to achieve the goals that we want to achieve in the end.
Eric, with the limit on the amount of times you get a padded practice, does that make that practice, those padded practices that much more important?
Well,
you don't get that many of them?
I'll say this. The number of practices are the same as they were since we've been here for the past seven seasons. So every practice is by far the most important, whether we're in pads, we're not in pads, we're walking through, because that's an opportunity for a player to get a rep. And so we don't take any of that for granted. And regardless of whether we're in pads or not, we want these guys to maximize the opportunity that we have together, because they're few and far between. And so when we're out there, we want to go out there and do it the right way.
Coach, there's always a lot made of the chess game that you guys played during games in the regular season. When you guys are out here going up against a new defense and a new defensive coaching staff, there's a lot that's been made about the communication and all that. How do you see when you're setting up certain situations to see how the defensive guys will react to certain coverages and the offensive guys? How have you seen that communication kind of manifest itself when you go back and watch the game?
I think the communication has been great. One thing we've taken a tremendous amount of pride in is doing a great job of communicating with one another. And that starts with the head man. Obviously, Coach Reed does a great job of communicating with both staffs. But just the challenge of playing against a different defensive front, and Spags and them are doing a heck of a job on that side of the ball. And it presents a different challenge. And, you know, after you practice against a certain look for six seasons, now every day is a new defense. So one thing I will say, our guys got to be into, we got to apply our rules and understand where we fit in the grand scheme of things. So we love the challenge. We accept it. We embrace it. But when it's all said and done with, we want to go out and beat our defense as well.
That's Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy here in St. Joe live, and I'm sure we'll have a couple of interviews real quick. But Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, you talked about defensive coaches in line to be head coaches next. Eric Bieniemy is going to be a head coach in the NFL.
I know, and I'm selfishly hoping he stays here forever and he can replace Andy Reid when Andy's ready to retire. And I think Bieniemy does not get enough credit because of what the offense did last year. The year before, there was a lot of lulls in that. There was a little lack of discipline in some spots, lack of focus. And I think Eric Bieniemy is a bigger part of that than people realize in terms of how he coaches, how he teaches, and how he wants the players to go out there and execute. And he's on the players all the time and brings that mentality. And I think he's a bigger reason than people realize and why this offense took that next step.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you had Doug Peterson first, then you had Matt Nagy after mm-hmm. that, who's now with the Bears. And Bieniemy was right in there with all of those guys.
And he's deserving to be a head coach, yep. And I want to see him be the head coach of the Chiefs someday.
That's why I was a little bit surprised and frankly disappointed when the Arizona Cardinals went out and hired Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, right after he got fired from Texas Tech, mm-hmm. he goes to USC for an offensive coordinator job for a week, mm-hmm. and then he gets the Arizona Cardinals head coaching job, and I'm like, as much as I want to keep Eric Bieniemy here in Kansas City, I was thinking, what are we doing here? What is this league doing here? You just hired a college coach who got fired instead of looking around at some other guys.
No, I know you see it in that way. Thank goodness Eric Bieniemy is here another year so they can get to that elusive Super Bowl. So from that end, I feel obviously bad for him that he didn't get that because he's deserved of that. He's a promise.
All right, let's go to the podium and hear from Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill.
So I'm evolving every day. So, I mean, something that stood out to me, you know what I'm saying, my mom, you know what I'm saying, as I was going through this long process, my mom told me, you know what I'm saying, people don't need to change, they need to grow, you know what I'm saying, and you think of a tree changes and a tree grows. Every day, you know what I'm saying, my mom told me that, Reek, you need to grow, you need to add layers to yourself, you know what I'm saying, because if a tree grow, it doesn't go back, you know what I'm saying, so I want to grow, I don't want to change, I'm trying to grow each and every day of my life, so that's all I want to say, but to answer your question, it feels good, man. The love feels good. You know what I'm saying? To come back out here, to hit a chance, it's crazy, man. So I'm back. The cheat is back, man.
Were you confident the NFL was going to rule the way that it
ruled? I mean, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't know, man. But like I said, I mean, Roger Goodell and his team, they did their thing. You know what I'm saying? They dug in and they got all the facts. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, I'm very appreciative for those guys as well.
What stood out to you most about that 8-hour interview with the league? And what were you trying to accomplish in that
meeting? The meeting was definitely long. It was probably the longest meeting ever of my life. So it was crazy. So what I wanted to get across was really just facts, man. But I really can't get into it.
Tell me about your off-season workout regimen with Luther. How important was it for your team, your receivers, to come out and work out with
you? With Luther? So it was great. I met this guy, Luther. He trains. So I started going up there, and it's just been great. You know what I'm saying? I look at Luther as like a bigger brother. You know what I'm saying? A good role model for the community. And he's also been hard on me. So,
Tyree, can you tell us when you became aware that there was an audio tape, the 11 minutes? When did you learn that that existed?
To be honest, I didn't know that existed until it came out, to be honest. So,
Tyree, what have you learned, Tyree, from the last few months?
I've learned to just appreciate, you know what I'm saying, those around me, man, you know what I'm saying, because I feel like I take that for granted sometimes, you know what I'm saying, being a professional athlete, you know what I'm saying, I tend to, like, not stay humble sometimes, and, you know what I'm saying, I mean, I still love my kids, and I still love my family, you know what I'm saying, but sometimes I feel like I take all of those things for granted, you know what I'm saying, so.
I mean, you say new journey, can you just elaborate on that?
I mean, new journey as in, like, me growing as a person, you know what I'm saying? Me growing as a father, me growing as a human, you know what I'm saying? And
what did Clark Hunt tell you about your responsibilities to the Chiefs?
I mean, I really can't get into that, but all I'm going to say is I just got to work on my life skills. That's it.
But what do you take away from all this? I mean, what's your life lesson if you take it in yourself going further that you don't make i.e. the same mistake again?
I just be appreciative to those around you, bro. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, sometimes I take all of that for granted. You know what I'm saying?
Your conversation's been like with Andy Reid since NFL
moved. What do you mean?
He said Andy said that he didn't talk to you much.
Yeah, so.
Was it like once you were able to talk to him again?
What's your name?
Brooke.
It's been great. Me and Coach Reid, like you said, we ain't talked during the whole offseason. I mean, I really ain't talked to nobody, but my teammates. So it's been great, you know what I'm saying? I know that he was still supporting me, you know what I'm saying, in the background. So, I mean, he was still showing me love. I know that, you know what I'm saying, because that's just that family connection that we got. That's why, like, I really don't call them my teammates, my coaches. I call them my family because that's who they is. Like, they brought me in as a family. Like, they trusted me in this organization, and that's what I'm so appreciative of, you know what I'm saying? They gave me a chance at life so I can change my family life, my kids' life, and everybody around me. So, because I came from nothing, so. I'm very appreciative of it.
As you understand it, what do you think?
He cut you off, huh?
What do you feel is necessary, or what have you learned that is necessary in terms of the ongoing child and family services case as to what you need to do to get custody of your son?
I mean, I cannot get into any of that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I wish I could, but I can't.
A couple more guys.
Sorry, as I was asking, how did it feel for you coming down first day of practice day, hearing the reaction from the fans and knowing, you know, how much you mean to them and that you're being back?
Oh, it felt great. Like I said, the fans here are amazing. You know what I'm saying? They do a good job as well, like making me feel like I'm family. So it was great to be back.
What's your message to these young guys who are just starting out their journey in the league?
Message to the young guys, you know what I'm saying? You can look at me and tell that I've been through a lot, you know what I'm saying? Even when I first came into the league, I mean, I had a bad history, but you know what I'm saying? Just be thankful for the ones around you. Stay humble, stay grounded, you know what I'm saying? Love your parents, love your kids if you got kids, and just work hard, you know what I'm saying?
We're gonna go Tom real quick.
Tariq, what was the communication like with your teammates, with Patrick, with Gary Peter, all those guys throughout the offseason?
I mean, I really can't get into all that, but as you've seen the videos, we worked out a lot.
Dave.
There's going to be a lot of people that are still very skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
How do you come back? Do you have anything that you want to say to them or anything that...
I really don't know what to say, you know what I'm saying? Except for, I mean, I'm steady growing as a human being, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I feel like all of us can learn something, you know what I'm saying, from the situation, you know what I'm saying? So... I really ain't got nothing to say.
Terrell, as you were going through this whole thing, it's obviously, I know there's so many things you can kind of say.
Right.
For reasons. Like, is there anything in particular you can say that you wish people knew about this situation?
I mean,
about the entire situation.
I mean, I wish I could get into all that, but I can't. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I'm just here to, like, you know what I'm saying, man up to what I did. You know what I'm saying? Like, on the audio, my bad language. I'm a man up to that. You know what I'm saying? I don't want nobody talking to my little sister, my daughter that I have now, you know what I'm saying, my mom. Like that, you know what I'm saying? It's very disrespectful. And I mean, my mom got onto me, like, she like thumped me in the ear, like, come on, man, Reed, come on, grow up out of that. So I never again, like I said, I'm growing as a human being, as a person, and I'm never again.
Last one, sir. Tariq, in the audio, the exchange, uh-huh. The statements made that you punch your son in the chest.
Right.
Obviously,
right.
In the audio, it's clear you're disagreeing with that.
Right.
Is there, when people hear that, they think different things. Can you explain what, playfully, angrily, how you would describe punching your son in the chest?
Like I said, I really can't get into that, but punching my son in my chest, that would probably refer me teaching my son how to box, because we do got boxing gloves at our house, and our son, like, he's like Iron Man, so he loves Iron Man, Aquaman. He's like, Daddy, come on, all the time, so. That's what it is, man. And, you know, sometimes things get thrown out of context, you know, when feelings get involved and emotions. But I ain't going to get into all that right now. So thank you, guys. I love you. Cheetah back, man. Thank you for the support. Chiefs Kingdom, man, I love you. Like I said, I'm going as a person each and every day. You know what I'm saying? And for the reporters, man, hey, my story is crazy. It's going to be somebody's testimony one day. I'm telling y'all.
All right, that was Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill, and he covered – everything that has gone on in the offseason. He addressed all of the situations. And if you missed any of that or want to hear it again, you can get it on the podcast later today. But I want to ask Nick Jacobs, our guest from 41 Action News and co-host of the podcast, Fourth and One, expectations for Tyreek Hill this year. I mean, is he the number one wide receiver in the National Football League? Does he challenge Odell Beckham and Antonio Brown? Or
I think having Mecole Hardman and a healthy Sammy Watkins, I think that it will allow things to open up, because I genuinely believe part of the reason they got Mecole Hardman is so that the Patriots or another team can't use that tactic of double covering, and at some point the Patriots use four people.
Oh, are we going to Chris Jones? Chiefs and Chris Jones at the podium.
Distractions, focus on winning the Super Bowl, new defense, I'm ready, I'm excited, glad to be back, ready to work.
What are some things that you did to stay in shape?
I worked my tail off. I was doing two-a-days, just committed to getting in shape and getting a six-pack.
What have the last few months been like for you?
It's been okay. Just a lot of hard work. I got to spend a lot of time with my kids, with my family, stuff like that. Went to Disney World. It was amazing. Felt like a kid again. And just work.
When did you decide you were going to arrive at camp on time? I
knew from the beginning I was going to arrive at camp on time. When I have Mosaic Life Care and the Special Olympics KC that I'm a brand ambassador of. And it's bigger than me. It's bigger. It's for those kids. And, you know, I'm actually doing a T-shirt drive where a portion of the proceeds are going to the Special Olympics on my IG and Twitter, Stone Cold Jones 95. So make sure y'all go get a T-shirt and support.
What are you trying to gain by
I mean, nothing was gained, nothing, you know, it was just me wanting to spend time with my family. I'm back now. I'm focused on winning the Super Bowl. I'm focused on being a dominant player on this defense and enjoying the process. The same thing every year. You go out, you work hard, and you come here, and you be ready to play. I actually enjoy the process. I enjoy going through the phases of training camp, working my way up through the season, and developing.
But in terms of the contract situation, I mean, what about that part of the process? You learned more, I guess, in the last few months than you had before.
Not at all. Just let my agents handle it. That's why I hired those guys for it. Let them handle it. The best I can do is come out here and focus on getting better every day.
Chris, you're going to play this season for the Chiefs. See a long-term future for yourself?
I mean, of course. I love to spend the rest of my career here. I'm quite sure we'll work it out. I don't worry about that. I worry about learning the new schemes and the plays on this defense.
What was the reaction from your teammates when you did walk through the door?
I mean, it's all love. It's always love in this building, especially with the fans. We got the best fans in the NFL, and especially our teammates. We're like a brotherhood. We're very close. And getting to meet the new guys on the defense, Tyran, I respect that guy like no other, the Honey Badger. 5'5", Frank, you know, those are my guys, man. And we come together as a brotherhood. Whatever's going on the outside, we ignore it. We focus on what we can control right here.
Did you short guys that you were coming with on day one? So far, talk about how good this defense can be.
It's different. It's very different, but it's a good different. I feel like the sky's the ceiling for us. We got a lot of depth. We got a lot of guys that can make plays. We got a lot of hidden talent that people don't know about that's going to be very special once they get the opportunity. So we just got to continue to build on it. Every day, come out and build on that. And the sky's the limit for this defense.
Loves to be here. I think you make that clear, you know, in your press conferences, in the locker room, so on and so forth. Everyone understands the business of football. How difficult was it to stay for you?
I mean, you know, it's always important, especially when you have new coaches coming in. It's always important to kind of get in the building, get the new plays going, and get the feel of the coaches and what you're getting into. It's always important to be around, especially new teammates. You want to be around them. It was tough, but, you know, I felt like that was right at the time. I'm here now. I'm focused on getting better, winning this Super Bowl, and dominating in this league.
You mentioned the new teammates. What's it been like working with the new coaches, with Spags and Brendan Daly?
It's fun. It's fun. It's different, but it's fun. You know, it's very simple. Very different. A lot of running, but we got well-coached guys. From the assistant guys, from the head up. Spag, the way he go about his business, and it triggers down to the assistants. And it makes you even commit even more to this team, to knowing that they're putting everything and all and to make sure that we come out here and be better than we was yesterday.
Chris, how do you describe Brendan Daly as a coach, what it's like to work with him?
He's energetic. He's going, man. Military style, energetic, but he's very dialed in. He's very dialed in. He's a player's coach, and he's fun. He's fun. He's different, but he's fun.
Chris, physically, how's the body compared to maybe past seasons?
It's about the same. It's always get better in some areas. You know, every off season you have a goal. This off season was a goal to get a six pack. You know, and that's what I worked on, strengthening the core, doing Pilates, yoga, and things like that.
Chris, this is the first few days. Do you feel like this is a scheme that your game will be able to
thrive in? Oh, most definitely, most definitely. Whether it's 3-4, 4-3, or whatever I'm playing, I feel like I can excel in it.
You're going to go back and we'll go Brawling.
Colin Saunders said that you were instrumental in this offseason. What kind of conversations did you have with him?
I try to touch bases with all the rookies, especially with him coming in doing backflips but a little overweight. You gotta wanna get him in a routine. Especially when you get in this league, you need a routine, how you go about yourself, especially on your eating habits, which is hard coming from college. So you wanna get them in a routine, and get them an understanding that the things you did in college, you gotta up it up a level when you get to the NFL.
Did you change that a lot this summer? Was there anything added, took away?
I stopped eating pork. I don't really eat red meat like no more. More so fish and a lot of vegetables.
Last one, sir. Chris, were you able to do anything as far as the new scheme? You mentioned Coach Spagnuolo and everything, but while you were away, did you have any of the schematics, anything that you could be studying, or is that just if you're holding out, they don't make that available?
Yeah, no, I keep my playbook every summer. So, you know, when we had the tournament, obviously I had to turn it in, but I got a glimpse of some things during OTAs.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right, that's Chiefs defensive lineman Chris Jones, who did come to camp on time, even though he wants a contract. There was speculation he might not show up, but that's okay. In a good spot, and Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, remains with us here. One of the things Chris was asked about, what'd you do when you weren't with the team? And he said, I had my own two-a-days. And I think we all saw the videos he was posting on Twitter and social media. And Chris Jones does not strike me as a guy who would do that for show.
Right.
He strikes me as a guy who was working his ass off and just said, hey, don't forget about me, even though I'm not there.
Yeah, and in this era with social media, it's smart to do that because a lot of people are going to be saying, well, hey, is he going to come in condition? I would have been one of those people. And for him to be able to show that on a daily basis in terms of his work ethic and what he's doing out there away from the football field, it eliminated that question to where he wouldn't get that when he came back.
By the way, you just heard the crowd cheer again. Breland Speaks has been out here signing autographs for almost 45 minutes now, and I'm trying to see Mecole Hardman's been out here for about 45 minutes. And there's a young kid, Kavon Walker, a defensive tackle out of Maryland, who was in the league last year for a little bit. He just came running over and got a huge ovation. And, Nick, I bet a lot of people don't know who Kavon Walker is.
But they're going to get his autograph.
They're going to get his autograph.
So they'll remember it forever, just like I remember Leroy Thompson in 1995.
There you go.
Give me mine.
You never know. My dad used to take my brother and I up to training camp when they were at William Jewell in Liberty. Uh-huh. I would have autograph. I would just hand everybody a sheet of paper or whatever it was. The one time I did get intimidated, I was in the Quick Trip Huddle Club.
Uh-huh.
So I got the discount tickets where you can sit in the end zone for like $7 back then.
Looked like we dropped for a second there at Chiefs training camp. As we said before, we heard from Eric Bieniemy. Tyreek Hill, big news of the day, getting into the first time he has been available since all of this, the stuff from the spring and into the summer has happened. And then I got to hear from Chris Jones as well. But we're going to take a quick break here on Sports Sunday here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We are live from Chiefs training camp up in St. Joe, Missouri.
Final couple of minutes for hour number two here on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810, WHB in Kansas City and St. Joe and everywhere across the Midwest. We're live at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri, sponsored by Missouri Lottery, Mosaic Life Care, and GM. By the way, all those interviews and press conferences you just heard, sponsored by 1-800-GOT-JUNK and Worth Harley Davidson. We heard from Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator. We heard from Chris Jones. We heard from Tyreek Hill. And I think I'm missing one. Maybe not. That might have been everybody.
Yeah, that was
everybody. Okay, that was three. Okay, we had four yesterday. We had three today. Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. Final couple of minutes here. Just listen to the comments from everybody. General enthusiasm, that sort of thing. But pretty good stuff for the first couple of days, and just it's kind of the first couple of days are taking what you learned in OTAs and the mini camp and seeing how much you retained and how much work there is left to do. And the coaches are going to figure that out pretty quick.
Yes, exactly. They will. And now I think everybody's just been itching for that first day to get back into pads and to be able to hit somebody.
Yes.
So I think that's what everybody's ready for tomorrow. So that's always the first padded practice is always my favorite, because that's the one where those guys have been waiting since January, right, maybe December, and then they just want to unleash.
Right.
I'm excited to see that.
Now look, I think the way the Players Association has battled for less padded practices or fewer padded practices and no more two-a-days is a good thing. But when they pop the pads, that's also a really good thing.
Mm-hmm. No, it's my favorite time to be able to be up that close and be able to watch them have the pads on and be able to, whether it's the thud period where they just hit or if they do the takedown or whatever. I'm ready to see real football again. It's been a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. I remember the brutal practices up in River Falls with Marty and Gunther. It was 2 days, and each of them were about 3 hours.
Yeah.
It was bad for the players. All right, quick timeout. We'll come back with our final hour of coverage. We're live at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, Missouri. This is Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Thanks to Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News, for joining us. Chris Bullock running the show. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.